Welcome to the Cat Clayton Mysteries. Do you enjoy mystery novels? Are you in the mood for some small town shenanigans? Or maybe you're on a road trip and looking for something to listen to. Either way, I am glad that you've tuned in. Think Murder, She Wrote, mixed with Legally Blonde in small town Texas. So, sharpen those sleuthing skills and let's solve some mysteries. Try to say that 5 times real fast. Oh, and a disclaimer. Like the dog in the books, my Chihuahua, Cuff, likes to be heard. And since he sits in my lap while I record, you may hear occasional puppy whining, a yip, or other doggy noises. Now, get cozy, and let me tell you a few stories. Welcome back. I am so thrilled that you've tuned in for this week's episode. So, my partner in life has retired after 27 years of being in law enforcement. He's now working from home. He currently is restoring a vintage truck for a customer. Don't ask me what model or year, I'm not that cool. But he YouTubes his rebuilds at Eldest Builds. Yes, a little bit of a shameless plug. But also, this is a sound experiment. You see, while I am up here trying to record, he is pounding and welding in a shop. So we're going to see how well I have soundproofed this room. As for last week's episode, we left off when Steely was questioned by the FBI. She leaves her office to go find Daniel. Let's find out what happens next. How to Leash a Thief, Sleuthin' in Boots, Book 1, Episode 19. You could have warned me those guys were in my office, I nudged Daniel in the back. Can you believe it? Welton's a fed. And they erased our suspect list. Yeah, Daniel muttered. Cuff trotted into the room and parked himself in the middle of the waiting room floor. He scratched his neck.
When's lunch, Chiquita? I am starving.
You're always starving. I directed my attention to Daniel. Listen, about Gertie, she wants to come back to work. And since we've lost Samson, we could use another hand around here. Do you think you can work with her? I wince at the mention of Samson's name. Guilt about his death had settled around my shoulders like a heavy wool scarf in the middle of summer. I knew I had nothing to do with this murder, but he'd been living here and cleaning for me, which left me feeling responsible. I glanced over at the pet picture board on the wall. Pinned to the top left corner with a thumbtack was a snapshot of Samson and Virgil. It reminded me of the special bond they had shared. Cuff whined.
Okay, forget lunch. I'll settle for a biscuit. A crumb? Anything?
I reached into the jar of doggy treats on the counter and tossed one to Cuff. He caught it midair with his tiny muzzle.
Thanks, Chiquita.
He stretched out in a sunny patch and relished his treat. Daniel, did you hear me? Sure. Grandma Gertie's great. Do the cops still consider either of us a person of interest? Daniel flipped to the next page of the daily paper. I don't think they really ever did. They wanted to see if I had any additional information to help with the investigation. Gertie saved me from their harassment. Uh-huh, he muttered. Well, she put them in their places. That's nice. Daniel kept his eyes peeled on the newspaper. Well, you should have seen their faces when she blew in there. Yeah, gotta love her. He thumped the paper in front of him. Well, we made the paper again. I perched on the stool next to Daniel and peeked over his arm. An image of the Pleasant Hills Bank topped the page, and underneath, a smaller picture of Scrub-a-Dub. Well, what does it say? Says here, a stray bullet hit the shop by accident. He held up his little quote fingers, rolling his eyes. Stray my fanny. The whack job took a shot at you on purpose. They're trying to downplay the threat of danger. It definitely wasn't an accident, but if he had wanted to hit me, he would have. I was in close range. I think he just wanted to frighten me. I bet Chief Becker and the mayor just want to avoid bad publicity for the town. Well, if anything, I think it'll boost interest. Thrill seekers would love to visit a small town where two murders and a bank robbery took place, Daniel said. The back door slammed shut, causing us both to jump. Seconds later, Gertie rounded the corner and attempted to sashay into the room, but she resembled a duck on stilts. As she passed us, she clutched the counter for support, a waft of cigarette smell following in her wake.
What's shaking, people?
Daniel leaned over and whispered,
She can't wear those boots in the grooming room.
I nodded. Gertie, let's talk shop. You can help by answering the phones, making appointments, and helping Daniel with grooming, and keeping this place tidy. But I insist that you clean up your language. Deal?
Fine by me, she said. Beat staying home with your mopey old father. He needs a hobby. Or a woman.
I felt for the locket around my neck. Well, don't you think it's a little soon for him to find someone else after Mama? Gertie shrugged.
So, what's on the agenda today?
Daniel peered at the appointment book. 5 washes, and 2 of them are full grooms. 1 Daniel's delight, and 1 little stinker.
You up for getting your hands wet, Miss Gertie?
Sure, I ain't got nothing better to do. So, what you gonna pay me?
She smacked the palms of her hands and rubbed them together. Well, we'll talk about pay later. Let's see how we get through the rest of the week. You can't groom in those boots. I kicked off my blingy flip-flops. Here, trade shoes with me. Gertie sat down to take the boots off.
Well, while I do, let's talk about the distinctive loud roar outside my window after the peepers' party. Oh, about midnight?
She waggled her eyebrows and grinned. She tossed me the boots and the pair of socks that she'd borrowed from my suitcase. I knew dodging her wouldn't work, but I refused to wave a white flag in surrender.
I don't know what you're referring to.
She crossed her stubby legs and pumped her foot.
Well, I peeked out my window when I heard the commotion. I witnessed the fine specimen Officer Jackson dropping you off.
She winked.
Do those details joggle your memory?
Yeah, Chiquita, I heard it too. Are you consorting with the enemy?
Cuff, who'd been quietly basking in the sun, peered at me. I clamped my lips shut. Daniel winked, strolling over next to Gertie. He placed a hand on her shoulder.
Well, I'd love to know as well, Little Red.
Well, you should know, I glared at him. You're the one that left me stranded with him. I crossed my arms in defense. He took me home, end of story, and don't call me Little Red.
Well, for the record, I didn't leave you stranded, Daniel said, sporting a mischievous grin. I left you in very capable hands.
Gertie studied me.
Are you fibbing?
I'm not lying. We conversed, and he drove me home, period. I couldn't look at either of them. They'd see right through me. They'd see I was totally crushing.
Conversed, Daniel said, nudging Gertie's arm.
Gertie hooted.
Did y'all converse with your lips?
Open mouth or closed? Daniel asked.
Quit ganging up on me. I said all we did was talk.
So much for holding them at bay. It was wide open waters now, with 2 sharks circling a small sailboat named Steely. Daniel leaned forward and play slapped me on the shoulder. You're blushing, he whistled, looking out the window.
Whew! We must table the conversation for later. Look at that train wreck heading our way.
Petunia called earlier, Daniel said. Patches had a run-in with a skunk. Hold your noses, everyone. I followed his glance out the window. Patches, a black and white border collie, yanked her owner, Miss Petunia Jinks, our town librarian, across the street directly to our front door. They both entered panting. The strong stench smelled oddly like coffee, which seemed to make it semi-tolerable.
Good morning, Miss Jinks. Hello, Patches.
I received a bushy tail wag in response from the happy pup, who looked like she'd taken a swim in a mud pit. With the large potted ivy, I propped the front door open.
I'm so pleased that you could squeeze Patches in this morning.
Dressed in faded blue jean overalls tucked into red ropers, a white t-shirt, fuzzy blonde hair pulled up into an unruly bun, Petunia Jinks wasn't your typical librarian. She also organized the town's community garden behind the library.
Cuff took one sniff of Patches.
Shoo-wee! She stinks!
He laid his head down, covering his nose with both front paws. "Well, don't you worry. Daniel will work his magic with her," I said. She pulled out a red bandana from the center chest pocket of her overalls and wiped her forehead. "Well, she harassed the poor skunk for nearly 30 minutes. After it sprayed her 4 times, Patches attempted to remove the stench in a mud puddle. My most sincere apologies, sweet boy. You have your work cut out for you." Daniel grinned. "Challenge accepted. Let's get to work, Miss Gertie." Daniel led Patches back toward the washroom. Pinching her nose, Gertie waddled after him.
"Danny boy, you call me Gigi."
She'd talk his ear off back there for sure. Better him than me. I flipped the switch for the ceiling fan and then lit the lemon meringue pie-scented candle on the corner of the counter. Miss Jinx checked her cell phone. Like the white rabbit, she was always in a hurry.
"Miss Steely, I need to get back to the library. With the summer heat, the children's area is swarming today, and I've left the sprinklers going on the new trees I planted this spring. I sure wish I could hire someone to assist me, but you know, city budget cuts and all."
"Well, what about getting a few volunteers?" She wiped the sweat from her brow.
"Well, I wish. Seems that nobody wants to work for free these days."
She fanned her face with her handkerchief.
"Can I just pick up Patches later?"
She checked her phone again.
"No problem. We have Patches down for a full groom in the little stinker package. We'll get her smelling better in no time, I promise. It'll be about 1.5 hours. If you can't get back, just let us know. We'll put her in a holding kennel."
"Oh, that would be wonderful."
"Well, what about asking a few students? You could have them work 3 or 4 hour shifts and then offer them free Wi-Fi time, charging stations for laptops and phones, and maybe set up a small coffee counter. You could make it a place for teens, like a hangout spot."
"Wow, that's a great idea, Staley. Thank you."
She stepped over Cuff.
"I'll be back later."
In a flash, she scurried out the door. I headed to the back where Daniel and Gertie had Patches in the wash station. I peeked in the doorway. Like snowflakes, bubbles drifted about the room, popping as they hit the floor.
"Hey, do y'all mind if I run out for a bit?" I asked.
"Yeah, we got this," Daniel said. "Right, Gigi?" Gertie flashed me a soapy thumbs up.
"Well, when will you be back?" Daniel asked, his arms coated in suds.
"I guess maybe about 1 hour. I'm going to go see if Nick is at the house. If not, I'll make a quick run out and grab a few of my things."
"Okie dokie. See ya," Daniel said. I tried leaving Cuff, but as I headed for the back door, he came to a skidding halt, nearly crashing into the wall.
"Please," he rolled over, exposing a pink belly. "Take me with you, I beg you."
I didn't have the heart to argue. I mean, how could I? The dogs didn't deserve to be separated. It wasn't their fault. I dialed Nick's number on my cell, but it went straight to voicemail. I guessed I'd take the chance to just drive out to the house. If he was there, I'd turn around. As I passed by the police department, I glanced at a habit.
What the heck?
Nick, who should have been serving his time off, had the blonde girl pinned against his truck. He was inspecting the back of her throat with his tongue. Yanking the steering wheel to the left, I downshifted the bug into second gear, my tires squealing as I tore into the parking lot. The two of them caught sight of me, and they dashed through the back door of the station. Shaking with enough force to erupt a volcano, I killed the engine, gulping shallow breaths. "When I get my hands around her straggly little neck, I'm gonna squeak."
"Chiquita, what do you think you're doing?"
Cuff put his two front paws up on the dashboard, bug-eyeing the station.
"He's making out with her! The nerve of him!"
I pounded the steering wheel with both fists, picturing both their smug faces.
"Let's go. I'm not leaving you in the car. It's too hot."
Cuff scuttled after me as I stormed around the front of the building, my heart jackhammering inside my ribcage. I heard brief blips of warnings from him, but my mind swarmed with 1,000 angry bees. I yanked the front door open and stomped inside.
"Well, hi, Miss Steely. What can I do for you today?"
Lenora, the front receptionist, stood and greeted me, stealing a quick glance behind her. Beanpole thin with hazel eyes, she turned back to me.
"If you're here to speak to the chief, I'll go find him. You can wait over there."
Lenora pointed to the row of chairs along the wall of windows.
I'm here to see Nick, please. I stood with my hands on my hips, tapping my foot, the anger intensifying by the second.
Chiquita, you need to count to 10.
I ignored him. One moment, sweetheart. Lenora checked her roster. I'll go check, but he's not on the schedule this week. She shuffled off, pushing through the swinging doors. The doors rocked back and forth until they came to a squeaky halt. Oh, he's there, all right, with his paws wrapped around that bimbo's body. My wild thoughts bordered on insanity. A minute later, Nick waltzed through the doors, straightening the collar of his black golf shirt. Rage boiled in my veins, my pulse ticking up several notches. I wanted to strangle him. Hey, he said, running a hand through his hair, pretending as if I didn't witness him mugging down on that woman. Oh, cut the crap! You know I saw you! The nerves on my shoulders seized, and I felt my patience unraveling. Thank God there was a counter between us. I wanted to reach over and wipe that smeared ruby lipstick off the side of his mouth with my fist.
Attacking a police officer is not wise, Chiquita.
Nick glanced around the room. Settle down, Steely, and quit making a big deal out of nothing, he said, ice lacing his voice. The few citizens who sat in the lobby seemed mesmerized at the action unfolding in front of them. Instead of giving us privacy, Lenore took her rightful place back at the front counter. She kept her eyes peeled on the file folder in front of her. My mind replayed the scene of Nick and that woman kissing over and over. Not only did my heart shatter, but my manners were about to take a flying leap out the window. Mama, whatever you are, you better cover your ears. I see. So our splitting up means nothing to you? How can you stand there and act so indifferent? Has the last 8 months meant nothing to you? Not to mention, I have a killer stalking me, and you kick me to the curb? I slammed both of my hands down on the counter, causing poor Lenora to jump. Well, you're upset, Nick said. But now isn't a good time. If you'll excuse me. He pivoted on his black snakeskin boots and turned around. Nick Campbell, don't you walk away from me. I leaned over the counter, unleashing my best Texas twang. You get your butt back here. Nick flipped up a hand, disappearing through the doors. Nick!
Let it go, Chiquita.
I spun around with Cuff hot on my heels, barking at me.
Wait for me.
I pushed through the front doors and stomped around the building toward the back lot. Nick and the blonde were out there talking. That son of a gun knew I had parked back here. You have some nerve, Nick Campbell. Why don't you move on already? The little twit said. I lost it and took off at full speed.
Chiquita!
Careful not to break an ankle in these stupid spiked boots, I charged forward, waving my arms like a wild banshee, my blood boiling inside my veins, my vision flashing a blinding white.
You're a homewrecker, I screamed in her face.
I turned to Nick.
And your two-timing butt can go to hell!
Nick's rough hands were on me quick and firm.
Don't touch me,
I yelled, yanking out of his grip. I reared back and slapped his cheek with all my might. Nick winced. Three scratches appeared instantly where my nails had swiped him, his face flushing. Are you insane? He grabbed both my wrists and flipped me around, my back to his chest, and he held me in a vice-like grip. The bimbo started crying.
What are you crying for, you big baby? I'm the one who's being dumped here, not you.
I saw red, bright, screaming red. I struggled, flailed, and thrashed. Let go of me this instant. Hold still. Nick squeezed even tighter. Damn it, woman.
I hate you, and don't you tell me what to do. Don't kill me, Chiquita. But you are using the squeaky voice again, and it's not flattering.
Shut up, I screamed, frustration boiling inside of me. Nick released me with a befuddled expression, his blue eyes raging. No, I will not shut up. Now calm down. Brandon bolted through the back door. What is going on? He inspected Nick's cheek. Ma'am, did she hit you? She's completely lost her freaking mind. You deal with her. I'm done, Nick said, dragging the girl with him. They disappeared through the back door of the building. Brandon nodded at me, reaching for my hand. Come here, let's talk. He gently pulled me over towards my car, and he leaned against it. Steely, hear me out. You can't go around assaulting people. I tried to focus on Brandon's face, squeezing back the tears blurring my vision. Brandon, he's acting plain awful. I understand. It sucks. But you're gonna have to let things just play out. Brandon brushed a stray hair out of my eye.
How can he just throw everything away? Not to mention how inappropriate his behavior is with her. She works for him. Doesn't it break some sort of law or rule?
Well, I don't know, probably, he said. But violence isn't the answer. If Nick ends things, you're gonna have to deal with it. Let it go. You can't go around hitting people, Steely. Not to mention, Stacia's aunt is going to have a hissy fit when she hears about this. Come on inside. Let's go get you some water. I guess Stacia must have been the little twit's name, but I couldn't care less who her aunt was or what she thought. Brandon led me through the back door of the station. Cuff followed us down the hallway. Brandon motioned for me to sit down on a bench. Cuff hopped up in my lap.
Are you okay, Chiquita?
Not really. I patted his head.
I tried stopping you, but you wouldn't listen.
I know. I'm sorry. A moment later, Brandon returned with a cold bottle of water from the station's kitchen and handed it to me. I had Officer Jackson call your father for you. He'll be here in a few minutes.
You did what?
The last thing I needed was for my father to show up and learn what I'd done to Nick. At the far end of the hallway, Nick leaned out of his office and peered at me. Three bloody scratches trailed down his right cheek. Ouch, I'd done a number on him. Pop arrived with Gertie 10 minutes later. Shame had set in and my behavior mortified me. Gertie shuffled up to me.
Heard you gave that no-good Nick a piece of your mind. Good for... Mother, for once would you be quiet?
Pop growled.
Oh, Chiquita, he sounds like a mad dog.
Cuff squirmed in my arms. Gertie gasped, pinching her lips closed, her hands fallen limp at her sides. Chief Becker and Officer Jackson rounded the corner and approached us. Wonderful. An audience. Thanks for coming, Pop, I said. I stood and rushed toward my father. Pop held up his hand, stopping me mid-stride. He peered at me over his glasses. What am I gonna do with you? He turned and addressed the chief and Officer Jackson. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Chief, I don't need to tell you how to do your job, but Campbell needs to be reprimanded for his indiscretions. If you don't, I will. I'll handle my officer, Randall, the chief said. Do my department a favor and keep your daughter out of trouble. Chief Becker pointed a finger at Gertie. And her, too. We don't need arson and underground gambling in this town. We have enough trouble on our hands. Gertie put her hands on her hips.
Catching my hair on fire was an accident. Thank you very much.
I'm referring to the bathroom fire at Lean and Oaks, the chief said.
Oh.
Gertie peered down at the floor. We're leaving, Pop said. As we headed down the hall, we passed by the jail. Behind the bars, I saw Banjo sitting on a cot reading. I took a right turn, heading straight for his cell. He stared at me, his jaw slack.
Hi, I'm Steely. I leaned through the bars. Did you see who killed Samson?
Banjo shook his head, fear plaguing his face. Cuff trembled under my arm.
He's frightened, Chiquita.
You're safe in here. It's okay to tell me what you know.
His wide eyes flicked behind me. With a wounded squeal, he flipped into a fetal position and whimpered, burying his head under the pillow.
Excuse me, you can't speak to the prisoner.
I whirled around, finding Agent Blake Welton standing right behind me. Cuff snarled, and I tightened my grip on him.
She's in here, Welton hollered. Anger rolled off of him in waves. My father stormed around the corner. Steely, what are you doing?
I ignored him, looking Agent Welton right in the eyes.
Why is he afraid? He cowered when he saw you. Have you threatened him?
Welton ground his teeth, hovering above me.
You and your dog are barking up the wrong tree, Miss Lamar. I suggest you leave.
He stepped closer to me. Cuff snapped at him. Welton flinched.
Control your mutt or I'll have him impounded. Let's go, Steely, my father said behind him.
I patted Cuff's head. Every inch of me trembled under his glare. Your intimidation tactics are not working. The quiver in my voice betrayed me. Welton chortled and stepped aside. Your daddy's calling you. I skirted past him and followed Pop out the back door. Without a word, we headed toward Gertie waiting near the Jeep. Pop spun around on me. His right eye twitched behind his glasses. I set Cuff down on the gravel parking lot, and he set off exploring. My father put his hands on his hips and glared at us. Mother, wait by the Jeep. I need to speak with Steely, alone. Wearing a sheepish expression, Gertie clambered into the back seat. Cuff returned to my side.
He looks rabid, Chiquita.
What in God's name were you thinking? My father asked.
Well, I was... He held up a hand and silenced me.
Why did you physically assault a law enforcement officer? Your behavior is embarrassing.
Anger and pain took turns plaguing his tired face. His words stung. I'm sorry, but Dick's cheating on me.
I know. And damn the boy to hell and back. But right now, I'm not worried about him. I'm too busy keeping your butt out of jail.
Cuff whined at my feet. I hung my head in shame.
Good gosh, I was the worst daughter in the world. The female officer claims you're harassing her, and now she's filing a restraining order. You need to stay away from her. Are you aware she's Mrs. Peacock's niece?
Peacock's niece? Mother trucker.
The woman had the means to squash me like a flea, business-wise. I'd be lucky to keep Scrub-a-Dub open after word got out.
You best be on your best behavior, Steely, from here on out. Understand?
Yes, sir.
I tucked my tail, looking down at the ground.
I'm going back to the house. You coming?
No, I need to get back to the shop. I'll be home for supper. I can cook.
Well, it's going to have to be frozen dinners or something equally simple.
Nope, we're going out for supper. Today would have been your mother's and my anniversary. I feel like celebrating over a nice steak. We'll have supper at 6 at Orsak's.
He turned to leave, driving a knife straight through my heart.
I picked Gertie up from the shop, so she'll just come on with me. She and I need to have a discussion.
Jeez, I couldn't have picked a better day to lose my cool in public. As they drove away, I stood shell-shocked, arms dangling at my sides, my heart bleeding onto the pavement.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, that's easy for you to say. You didn't just break your father's heart.
We loaded into the bug and drove back to the shop in silence.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Are you curious about what happens next? Be sure to hit subscribe and tune in next Tuesday to find out. If you're enjoying the Cat Clayton Mysteries podcast, I would appreciate if you would rate and review so that other listeners can discover the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. Until next week, stay happy and sleuth on, my friends.